Thank you for tuning in for the next 30 minutes to Victory Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are located at 907 Howard Street in Jennings, Louisiana. We would like to invite you to be our guest Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for our regular service and Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study. For more information, please contact us at P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. Now stay tuned for an exciting and anointed message from Pastor Austin Spell.
If you have your Bibles, go with us to Matthew chapter 21, and we'll read a verse of Scripture there for you. While you're going there and finding that, we'll welcome those who will be with us on Facebook today and those who will be listening by HLE Radio as the message of the Lord and the praising songs and worship of the Lord go to 194 countries around the world. Thank God for the opportunity to be able to fulfill what the Bible tells us to do in Matthew, last chapter of Matthew 28. He said, go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel. And we have an opportunity to do that over internet radio, and we thank God for that and Him to glory. We're going to talk about the evil sharecropper today in Matthew 21. I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture concerning this parable that Jesus spoke of, and then we're going to kind of have a summary of what this parable is saying to us. In verse 33, he says, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it around about and digged a winepress in it, built a tower, and let it out to a husbandman, and went into a far country. Now, we often preach messages from the parables that our Lord spoke because they're very important. Every one of them is a special message to give to those who hear it, those who he was speaking to then and those who he speaks to this morning, even in this day and age. So we're going to do a little summary of what this parable is saying to us and understand what the message is to us today. For everything in God's word that he speaks back then, he speaks to us also. Because he said, I have never changed. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So his word back then is the same word today. The same principles that he expects us to live by, the same character he expects us to be, was then and it is now. The word has never changed. But the scripture says there was a landowner who prepared his land and planted the crop, and he fenced it off, and he dug a water well and built a tower so that he could watch over and protect the crop. And then he leased it out to a sharecropper, or a husbandman, the Bible calls it, and went into another country. In other words, he left it for those in charge to take care of it. When it was time for the harvest, the owner sent his servants back to the sharecropper so that they could collect the labor and the profit of the harvest. The sharecropper, or the husbandman as the Bible calls him, took the servants and beat and killed them so that they would not have to share their profits. So the owner sent other servants. They beat and they killed them. Finally, he sent his son, thinking that they would not hurt him because he was an heir to the owner. But when they saw the son, they said, this is the heir. Let us kill him and take his inheritance. So they caught the son and they slew him with no regard as to who he was and what his position was. And then Jesus asked them a question. He said, when the owner of the land comes, what will he do to those wicked sharecroppers? What will this owner do to the husbandman that he had appointed to watch over his crop? Now, before we go to the answer, let's qualify these positions so that we understand that Jesus mentions in this parable the same kind of people that we have today. Because you see, human nature has not changed. And those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior still act the same way as this sharecropper or this husbandman the Bible talks about. Number one, the landowner or the householder is none other than God the Father. That's what they represent here. And the husbandmen at the time of Christ were the scribes and Pharisees. Today they are the religious leaders. Religious leaders that are leading an apostate church. And then the servant of the landowner were the prophets that were sent to Israel. And the religious leaders of Israel killed the prophets. The son, of course, was Jesus Christ. Understand that Jesus was speaking to the religious leaders at that time, and he speaks the same message to religious leaders today. Now, I often speak about religion because I have seen it and been a part of some of it years back. And even through history that has nothing to do with Scripture, we find religion to be the biggest killer in the world. I'm of Irish descent. I've read and studied about that for some time. And we find that years ago, Ireland was divided between the Catholics and the Protestants. And over that religion or those religions, they fought and killed each other. Rose up families against families. And I heard a while back that there was some of that starting to creep in again today. Religious division that causes wars and causes other things. We see religions of the Far East and the Middle East, how they respond to everything by violence. We see religion here in America that may not be responding by the violence that we see in other places, but they're responding by dividing the house of God. False prophets, false teachers, false doctrines, moving farther and farther away from the cross, getting away from the principles of God's word, even leaving the cross, even leaving Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Now, when the Bible speaks of the vineyard, we find that the vineyard was an illustration of the kingdom of heaven. And I think we might have mentioned this in a message recently. All of the parables that Jesus spoke of, he referred to them as the kingdom of heaven. And he talked about the things on earth. So we have to understand that God's kingdom of heaven is now here on earth. And the things that are done against the kingdom of heaven are done against Christ, done against God, done against the cross and his sacrifice that he made for us. Now, this illustration of the kingdom of heaven, in that respect, we understand that the keeping of this vineyard, was entrusted to Israel, God's chosen people. He entrusted Israel to be the husbandman of the vineyard. That is the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. And God protected this vineyard and he watched over it. And he set Israel up as the watchman to watch it and protect the vineyard. The vineyard was to produce the fruit from which the Redeemer would eventually come. But Israel failed. They failed miserably. The religious leaders, once again, persecuted the prophets and turned the nation away from God, turned them away from the coming Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. Then God the Father, sending his only begotten Son, as the Scripture tells us, to Israel, Jesus said, I came unto my own, but my own received me not. He was sent to Israel first, to redeem Israel, And as the evil husbandman or care cropper did in the parable, so Israel did to Jesus. His only son was sent, and what did they do to him? Oh, Israel failed miserably as the religious leaders persecuted the prophets, first of all, and turned the nation away. Then God the Father sent his only son. And what happened? He had to witness the murder of his son. By whom? The religious leaders. Can't get away from false doctrines. You can't get away from false religion. Because it existed back then all through the Bible. It exists in a greater form, I believe, today. Then God, after sending his son, Jesus gave this parable to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of that day. They thought they could preserve their position by killing Jesus. Religion doesn't want to give up its position. It would rather kill the prophets. It would rather kill Jesus. It would rather turn people away from the cross rather than give up their position. But we find that today the religious order protects its position by what? Preaching and teaching false doctrine. And sad to say, so many millions are following it. Preaching and teaching false doctrine. The apostate church is here. It's already large, but it's still growing. Because people who claim to be Christians and go to church are looking for another way to heaven. And the reason for that is that they will not make a commitment to serve God. It is easier to follow religion than it is to follow Jesus Christ. Because religion does not demand anything of you. You can walk with one foot in the world and one foot in church, and religion is satisfied with that. The apostate church is spoken of in Scripture as being very, very prevalent in the last days. It even goes so far as to tell us that hell has enlarged her boundaries. That means that many have fallen away. Many will fall away. But in the midst of that, he also tells us there'll be a great revival. Oh, it's not be a great revival of tent meetings like it used to be, or great revivals of preaching the gospel. It will be a revival of souls that are saved in these last days. A revival of people coming to know Jesus Christ and getting saved. And if there ever was a time when you needed to know Jesus Christ, it's today. What do we hear today? The cry of peace. Oh, we love peace. Yes, we all do. But there'll be no peace in this world. Don't think that Iran is going away. Iran in its modern state is the Persia of old. And Persia has a part in the last days in conquering or trying to conquer Israel and destroying the nation of Israel. So it plays a permanent part. So they're not going away. I think even though they have decided to sign some kind of a peace accord between them, that all the while the wheels are turning in the evil minds of these dictators and others. And even today, if you saw the television recently, you find the people of Iran in the streets shouting, screaming, death to America, death to Israel. You see, we may have conquered some part of them in what we've done to destroy their nuclear capabilities, but you've never, ever going to destroy the evil religion that's in them. Never will. Evil religion is going to be here until Jesus conquers it. But it is our responsibility, as the parable said, It is our responsibility as the church to protect the vineyard. Huh? The vineyard is the kingdom of heaven. It's our responsibility to fight and protect. How do we do that? Through prayer and worship and study and preaching the word of God, witnessing to people the word of God. That's how we protect the kingdom of heaven. Because we are a part, as a church, a true believing church, we're a part of the kingdom of heaven. God said that he would protect us. The religious hung themselves in their answer. Verse 40 says, when the Lord of the vineyard comes, what will he do unto these husbands? They said, now listen at the stupidity of religion. Here's the answer that the religious people gave him. He will miserably destroy those wicked men. Yeah. And will let out his vineyard unto another husbandman, which shall render him the fruit of their seasons. So what did Jesus do? What did God do with Israel? After Israel crucified the Lord Jesus, killed the son, as in the parable, and they hung themselves with their own words. The owner's coming. And when he comes, he's going to mete out justice to those evil that prosecuted, that killed the prophets and killed the son. Oh, he's coming, friend. They hung themselves when they said exactly what God says. He's coming back. He's our Savior today. He'll be our judge tomorrow. He will always judge those that claim to be what they're supposed to be. We will be judged as to whether we truly are what we say we are. That we have more than lip service, but we have a heart service after the Lord Jesus Christ. That we love God more than we love the things of this world. That we desire to serve him more than we desire to have and serve the things of this world. Satan has offered to the hand of religion all the glory and all the beauty and all the money and all the cathedrals and all that man has in their religious theory. Satan has handed it to him. You say, well, Satan couldn't do that. Yes, he can. Because the Bible says he has been given the prince and the power of this world. The kingdom of darkness rules this world. The only light in it is Jesus Christ and his followers. He said, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. In that kingdom of darkness, there's a light that shines. His name is Jesus Christ. And when we follow him, we become his light in this world. So there's a kingdom of darkness that is oppressing religions today in all facets, and everywhere you find it, you'll find that oppression. But in that oppression, you'll find people enjoying it. But they hung themselves. They said, when the owner comes, now, Satan is the power and the prince of this world, but he don't own it. No, listen. Here's what the scripture says. The earth is the Lord's. And everything that's in it belongs to God. Satan is allowed some things to do today. Just as he was allowed to tempt Job, he's allowed to work his kingdom of darkness because man failed. Man sinned. And we have inherited that that sin. But in that, we have a light. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. He'll be the light of eternity. That's why the scripture tells us there'll be no need for light in the new heaven and the new earth, because Jesus will be the light. And we will be with him. Now, he told them that. And the husbandman did come, and the Redeemer did come, and the prophets did come. And what did the religious leaders of Israel do? Crucified him. Jesus, they use the word murder here because it was a reflection of the natural working of mankind. They murdered the Son, but Jesus was not murdered. He was killed, but he was only killed because he allowed them to kill him. He said, I could have called 10,000 angels. Now, 10,000 is not just a number, 10,000. That's a representative of a host of angels to destroy the world and take him off of that cross. But his love was greater. His love for his creation, God's creation, he loves his creation. Good or evil, he still loves it. People will go to hell and God will still love them. Yeah, I think it was the psalmist that said, though I make my bed in hell, you'll be there. Why? I'm the presence of God. He's everywhere. And his love will be there, but no one will be saved. The torment and the torture will still continue. But you can't escape God's love. He loves his creation as a whole. The Lord turned turned from the Jews to the Gentiles. The replacement theory that people get caught up in. No. The church did not replace Israel. The church is in a position that God placed it while Israel is doing their religious thing. But in the end, it will be Israel, once again, that will be God's chosen people throughout eternity. Now, some people don't realize it, but the reason we have a Bible today is because of the Jew. Jesus was born in the natural sense, in a Jewish family. All of the Old Testament is about the Jews. The church came about in the New Testament, where the Jews are still there, but they're not doing what they're supposed to do. So the church now has taken that position of taking the gospel to the world. That's supposed to be the responsibility of the Jews. Jesus came to them, and they were supposed to be the ones that were doing what we're doing now, preaching this gospel to a lost and dying world. But because they chose not to, you see, God always has a plan. You can't destroy his plan. It's going to work. And now it's the church that is commissioned to be the watchman over the kingdom of heaven on earth until the Lord of the vineyard comes. The church has been called and chosen to be what Israel was supposed to be. That's not replacing Israel. That's another position where God has called the church. If we took the place of Israel, then we're going to have to go through the tribulation period. That will nullify the rapture. That will do away with the promise that God said, I'm going to deliver you. So if we were taking the place of Israel, we have no need to even look for a rapture, because we're going through the tribulation. But that theory and that preaching, or whatever they call it, that message is a lie.
Amen.
Because Israel is going to go through that great tribulation, as the word says. But the church,
hallelujah,
the church, the Bible says, the church has been chosen to give this message today. And when this message is completed, and God's plan has been fulfilled to that point, he's taking the church with him to glory. That's his promise for us today. Oh, this is a great responsibility. And it falls upon each one of us as individuals and also as all of us a part of the church. Operating under the banner of Christ and him crucified. We must be the watchman on the wall. And we must never come down. Then Jesus turns their attention to the Word of God. Listen what he said. He tells about the stone, Jesus Christ, which was rejected, but because he was rejected, he became the cornerstone of the church. He said, "This is my church. Upon this rock, the confession of Peter that Jesus Christ was truly the Son of God, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Don't worry about the church failing, because it can't fail as long as Christ is in it. He is the rock, the only foundation that the true church can build on. Everything else is built on sand. Religion is built on sand. That's why it's had to change so many times. But the church of Jesus Christ has never changed. The rock has always been the center of it. He still is and always will be. Through his death on the cross, his resurrection, and his ascension to glory, his intercession for us now, he is the true and only foundation of the church. The true and only. So when the priest and the Pharisees heard that what Jesus said, they knew he was speaking of them. But they rejected it. When a person hears the message of salvation through Jesus Christ and they reject it, you see, religion today knows that the word speaks to them, but they reject it. And in doing so, they reject the cross. I know and you know that every religion is based upon some scripture. They all have a scripture. But it's not the scripture that Jesus wants it to be. The scripture that his church is built upon, not religion, not different church. See, we have different churches because of a split that took place from a church. I know one church is split about 5 times. Somebody asked me a while back how the church was doing. Are y'all growing? Are y'all getting big? I said, we're almost big enough to have a split. And that's where different religions come from. They move off to another place and build a religious building and have another religion. Even the major, and we call them major because they're so big, I guess. Major religions have split over doctrine. But the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ does not split. They know the word, but they reject it. And Christ said, when the owner, which is Christ, returns, they will reap the same consequences as the religious leaders of Israel. Same consequences. That's why I said earlier that when they answered Christ, they sealed their own doom. Yeah, they said when the owner comes, oh, he's going to deal with them. Little did they know they were talking about themselves. They were the them.
Pastor Spell and the congregation of Victory Gospel Lighthouse wish to thank you for tuning into our broadcast and want you to join us at the same time next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for more of God's Word here on HLE Radio. If you would like to partner with us by spreading the gospel, you can send your support to P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. If you would like to listen to more sermons, you can do so by going to hleradio.com and clicking on Online Sermons, Victory Gospel Lighthouse. We hope you will join us next week. God bless you and God bless America.
No, I'm not perfect, and I'll never be. Your sweet forgiveness, Lord, can rescue me. Here comes His grace again. There goes my fear. Here comes my Lord and friend.